We're live, people.
Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
one? UCR.
Go.
We're saying what we want, give it to you nonstop. Any place, anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. Let's just go everywhere, we never gonna settle. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
That's right, we are unstoppable and original. We are uncensored radio. We're only unstoppable unless Blog Talk freaks the fuck out. Then we are unstoppable. So, sorry to mislead you guys. But when it comes to talking about what's going on in the world, we are unstoppable. And we are here tonight with an amazing show. Sorry, last night we had some technical difficulties. We're very happy to be here tonight. I am one of the hosts, Karen Ashley, along with Mr. Jeffrey Emmett. How are you, Jeffrey?
Oh, como te gusta mi pinga.
Ooh, he's in a feisty mood. We also have Jamesy in the house. How are you, James?
I'm good. I was rocking out to some brandy before the show.
I know. He's all in food. He wants to be down, you know? He was old school brandy time. I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, so, you know, my favorite one.
What?
You're doing a,
huh?
Okay, one at a time, boys. One at a time. You know how it goes.
I'm just playing.
Action. Go first. Who's going first?
Jeffrey.
Now none of them have anything to say. See? They talk
go
over
ahead,
each other.
Jeffrey, what are you going to say?
Go ahead, Jeff.
No. How about I'm going to... No, I was just going to say, like, my favorite brandy song from back in the day. See, it wasn't important. That's why I was like, James needs to go. Was Her and Mace, you know, from their first album there, Sitting on Top of the World. I'm just trying to be me, doing what I got to do. Some people
like
think
that
I was listening to Best Friend. I was listening to Sit Up in My Room. I was listening to all that. I listened to it all today.
I'm telling you, I got Brandy heavily in my iPad, in my iPod. It's like, she is, I love her, especially her old school stuff. Her new school stuff, I'm not really into, but I like the old school Brandy.
Yeah, her new stuff kind of
sucks. I really like it.
I know. Did you like that new song with her and Chris Brown?
I did. It was, I mean, I didn't like Chris Brown on it at first. The first time I heard it, it had to
go off
the ball, I guess.
Well, speaking of Chris Brown,
I like her.
I think, you know, obviously he's not the, you know, most mannered boy, or he's not, you know, he obviously isn't without fault, but he was wrongfully accused this week of leaving a club, and a girl said he pushed her to the ground, tearing ligaments in her leg. Well, of course, you know, the whole world was in uproar. They're like, oh, Chris Brown strikes again. He's so violent. The club promoter actually released a video showing that Chris Brown was never even near this girl. And then you see the girl leaving the club walking normally.
Ooh.
Yeah. So she, like, you know, got lawyered up and was, like, going to press charges. And then obviously the cops just, after they got that video, they were like, never mind. But what he was accused of today was he got accused of hit and run. Remember the accident he had a few months ago?
No.
Okay, well, he had a fender bender. He wrecked into somebody or backed into somebody. Their car didn't get messed up. His car didn't get messed up, but they stopped. They exchanged information, and, you know, that should have been the end of it. Well, the lady, I guess, wanted to file a claim on his insurance, and whatever insurance he had in the car was expired or something. I don't know. It was out of date, something. But, I have friends who, you know, I don't think that Chris Brown puts the insurance card in his car. Like, probably someone does that for him. So this lady has pursued it all the way to now he's been charged with hit and run. And he's like, how am I being charged with a hit and run when I stopped? We exchanged information. She knew how to get in touch with me. Why is this now called a hit and run? Do you think that's fair?
It sounds like they're just trying to get him.
I know. I feel like there's a witch hunt for him.
But.
So, yeah.
I'm
so
not
like, going to
say
really has, he
that
really
I'm
has
upset with it.
Well, I mean, I look at it this way. When Rihanna took him back, I had to let that beating go because obviously that's what she's into. Because
no,
I don't know any
no.
girl who would be down with that.
This is the difference. I am the polar opposite because I have friends who do that. You know, they go back to the ones that abuse them or whatever.
What
and,
do
like,
do?
I don't get over it. I don't play. Like, then we just probably are not really going to be friends because I'm not going to accept
what?
That. I'm not, no.
I'm not, it's not that I'm accepting it, but she's accepting it, so why do I have to hold a grudge? Like, I just feel like,
you know I don't
she's
think I would
very
have.
She's a powerful woman.
If that was what happened and that was that. But there's been so many other things after that, like the chair going through the window or whatever, you know, and all the other things. Like, no, this dude hasn't learned.
What about Sean Penn? What about somebody like Sean Penn who fought a paparazzi? He's been accused of abuse, like beating up on a guy. Like, there are people who do that, and we don't.
Yeah, but he's beating up on a guy, not a woman.
Well, I mean, fighting
like, I know
is
it's
fighting.
A double standard,
violence
but it
is. Violence. This is the other thing. Did you see the video this past week where Rihanna hit her fan with a microphone?
No.
Yeah. Look it up
Tell
on
me
TMZ.
About that.
She's singing, right? And she's kind of like, there's like two bodyguards next to her, and she's singing, and the fan grabs her arm. And then she tries to walk away, but the fan won't let her go. So she turns around, hits the fan with the microphone. Like,
she, see? Hanging out with Chris Brown too much.
I know people who know them, and they were like, she was throwing blows as much as he was throwing blows. But it wasn't like, they're not going, oh, that's okay. But they're like, you don't hit guys because one day you're going to hit the wrong guy, and like what happened, he'll hit you back.
Okay,
like,
the only part of that sentence that I heard was, I know people who know them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do.
Do I even need to speak?
What?
Why ain't you
what
trying
are
to
we
get
doing
him on the show? Is what he's
saying. Do y'all honestly think Chris Brown and Rihanna going to come on Uncensored Radio?
Hey, it
they
won't
don't
hurt
even
to
do
ask.
Regular. They don't even do regular interviews. When was the last time you seen them do an interview? With Oprah?
Don't matter.
They ain't doing
don't matter.
They aren't even doing regular radio interviews.
Never hurts ass. Never hurts.
Well, I'll definitely throw that out there and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Mm-hmm. Snakey. You're the devil.
But anyways, I mean, I'm not making excuses because I think what he did was horrible. I think, you know, the punishment he got, I thought it should have been severe. I thought he should have gotten went to jail. At least a little while, something. But, you know, he got probation. He had anger management. I felt anger management was what he needed. I don't know if it worked. But, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. To me, it's kind of like the OJ syndrome. You know, I feel like they didn't get him the first time, so they, you know, got him the second time.
Right. They're going to keep going until they get him, I think.
Yeah. It's pretty much what it is. Like, I feel like the guns are kind of now blazing for him, and people are watching him with a microscope. So, no matter what he does, no matter how small of an incident it is, people are looking to nail this kid to the wall. And unfortunately, that's what happens. You made a bad choice.
But don't you think it's unconstitutional? You can't falsely accuse people of hit and run when they didn't hit and run. Like, that's a serious allegation.
Well, technically, they both should be charged with
a
hit and run.
We had pictures of him hitting, like, we had the damage that he did to her head and face.
Right.
And nobody sent him to jail then. So to me, I'm like, I just feel like this is the thing. At the end of the day, if he's as troubled as we all think he is, he's going to mess up again.
I'm sure he will clearly be cleared of this. Like, this is probably just this chick trying to cash in and getting her 15 minutes. But at the same time, they should be pressing charges against her because technically they both hit and ran because they did not call the police. And I found this out through my few accidents that I had there back in my heyday when I was having some issues. If you hit anything, including a guardrail, and you leave the scene of the crime and you're thinking it's a guardrail, I just sideswiped it, no big deal. Not so much. If you hit anything, apparently even a deer, at least in New York State, like that's considered an accident. You need to notify the police.
Right. Well, you know what? I'm like, you know, if he would have gone to jail when he hit Rihanna, I would have been in full support of that. I felt like he needed a harsher punishment. But at this point, I feel like if we are Americans and we have an upstanding judicial system and we have law enforcement, I don't think that even if we hate the man, you can't falsely accuse people of things that they didn't do. Like, I think that's a waste of our time. That's a waste of our taxpayer money. I think that is just, you know, you had your chance and you guys didn't. You gave him whatever punishment you saw fit. And if this kid is as bad as everyone thinks he is, then he'll do something else wrong. I don't think that anybody, I don't care who you are, should be falsely accused of something just for the sake of society doesn't like you. Nothing? We got nothing?
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think that...
I know, it's like dead silence. I mean, am I on the phone? Am I here by myself?
No, I'm here. Okay. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm here by myself. All right, well, next topic. I guess Jeffrey's checked out on that one.
I'm sorry, I was trying to sneak away because I just had a daycare parent come. So I thought James would cover it, but apparently not.
Dead
he's missing
silence.
These days.
Dead silence. Well, this
can
is the other thing.
Me?
You guys know.
Hello?
It's a classy show.
Now, we all know the latest and greatest gossip of all gossips. Not really gossip, it's a known fact now, I guess. Miss Paula Deen, we've all heard the story. And we all heard, you know, some disparaging things about her. What's your thought?
Girl.
I think she's
Is that English?
She's an ignorant old lady.
Oh.
I don't think it's English.
Can you hear me at all?
She's
an ignorant old lady. Yeah, stop mumbling.
Really.
Pull the rocks out your mouth. I know you're from Missouri and all, but damn, sonny.
You kind of have a mumble.
I'm not mumbling.
Well, you have a bad connection.
Be right back.
Can you hear me now?
Well, for those of you who have been under a rock, basically the whole story rolled out on the 12th because Paula is currently being sued by some former employees that she, at her restaurant, her and her brother, you know, allowed racial discrimination. They were racist. They allowed racial jokes at work. And so she's being sued, and she had to give a deposition on the 12th. And in her deposition, she admitted to using the N-word. And she also admitted to allowing the racially charged jokes, and she also admitted to allow, racial discrimination in the workplace. She admitted it. She confessed to it. It is what it is. And
well,
the world has, you know, everybody's been outraged. She got fired from Food Network. She got dropped from, I think it's two sponsors now have dropped her. Her new book is now being held up by Random House. They're not sure if they're going to release the new book. And QVC is monitoring the situation, and it seems like they're not going to renew their deal with her either. So she's going to lose millions. I mean, but this woman is already worth $60 million, her empire.
There's a few things with this that I find interesting. I've noticed a lot of Facebook groups and a lot of people that I know actually posting, like, support Paula Deen. And there was, like, millions of likes on the pages, which kind of surprised me. And then at the same time, I feel like I felt like it took a lot of courage for her to admit it. Because, you know, she could have just done what everybody else does and lies. But she didn't, you know. And that's kind of, yeah, people do all the time. I feel like that was maybe the right step in the right direction. But at the same time, like you and I had actually had a conversation yesterday about the fact that this is, I was kind of shocked that anybody thought this was news. Because if you had ever seen her interact, you know, like, I can't remember what you said, when you were like, come here, this is my black friend, and he's
right.
whatever, you know.
Yeah, an interview, she did.
You know, and I feel like, to me, that is just incredible ignorance. Like, I honestly, I'm not sure necessarily how much malice was behind it, not that it matters, not defending her, but
right.
I also kind of feel bad for her in a sense that I feel like that's probably the way she grew up. And
mm-hmm.
you'd think having that much money, you would learn a few things. Very poor taste, very, very stupid. But I also feel like, you know, unfortunately, I feel like racism is still very present in our country today. And a lot of people are very ignorant, and they don't believe they're a racist, and they don't even realize what they're saying is racist. Not that that makes it any better, or not that that's an excuse. But
right.
I feel like it just goes to show you still where we are as a country. Like, there's a long way to go because people don't
right.
think they're being racist.
Right. Well, not to go back into the past and not to bring up old wounds, but I remember getting into a heated argument when I had said that racism was still alive and well in this country. And a person that I was arguing with defended that they could not even imagine, couldn't imagine that there's racism. Oh, no, we've got a black president. Oh.
Hello?
And this person to this day has never spoken to me. And it just goes, I mean, I'm not saying that that person is right. I'm not saying that person is wrong. But I think you're ignorant if you don't realize that there is racism. And there are a lot of people, because I grew up in the South. I grew up in Texas. So it's one of those things that I think it's unfortunate, because I'm a huge Paula Deen fan. Like, I will say my feelings were hurt. I wasn't hurt personally, but I was like, oh, not Paula. Like, she ain't going to have her show anymore. Like, I like watching her show on Sunday mornings. Like, That's what I do. Huh?
Portrayed as, like, the sweet Southern lady.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like
Atlanta, that I wanted to go to her restaurant. You and I had a date at her restaurant when I go to the convention in Atlanta. I was like, Jeffrey, we got to go to Paula Deen's restaurant. You know, so it was like, I even told my boyfriend last night, I said, do you think it's wrong if I still go to Paula Deen's restaurant?
Well, honey, that'd be like me going to Chick-fil-A. But again, like,
right.
it kind of, like, for me, this kind of
exactly.
goes back to, like, with Tracy Morgan when he was
exactly.
doing a stand-up thing. And to me, like, you know, like, I did not get offended by it, because I'm to a point in my life where I feel like they're just words. They're only powerful if we let them be powerful. I know for some people it means more to them than it does to me. Like, it's just my personal thing. Like, you know, I don't really like when I hear somebody use the N-word. It's not really my cup of tea. But at the end of the day, like, for my personal beliefs, it's me being gay. Like, you can say every gay slander there is. I feel like they're just words. Now, if you're ignorant, you'll make me mad that way. But you can call me whatever you want. You know, whatever. Like, you're
right.
just an idiot. It's just
well,
whatever. But
you know what I think, though? I think what really struck people is just the other parts of the deposition where, you know, they mentioned how she was catering a party. I think it was in 2010. And it was like they were paying homage to old Southern tradition. And she asked her black employees to dress like slaves. And she found nothing wrong with that. And when she was questioned, like, well, why would we do that? Like, we're not going to do that. She basically was like, well, back in the South, back in the day, you guys would have been slaves. And so to me, I was like, oh, my God. If someone ever asked me to dress like a slave, I'd tell you something. I better be in an Oprah Winfrey movie doing that.
Like, again, like, that to me just shows how ignorant she really is, and she doesn't get it. You know, like,
that
made me almost really believe, like, she really doesn't have any malice behind this. Like, it's just acceptable where she's from, and it's just the way they were raised, which is a sad thing, you know. And I hope that this woke her up and the people around her, that maybe, you know, when you know better, you do better. And maybe she didn't, because, you know, if you're, I mean, obviously she's been all over the country and the world, I'm sure. But, you know, when you're still in that small circle, you know, you still say and do things because that's what everybody else does around you. So why would you do anything different, you know? But, again, it doesn't make it okay. But, like, going back to, like, you know, again, like with Tracy Morgan, like, I wouldn't stop going to his shows. I mean, I don't go to his shows, but, you know, like, I just felt it was a joke and it was not funny. you know, I love me some funny gay jokes, but that particular one that just wasn't really funny, and it was stupid, but I'm not going to stop watching the guy's show or boycott him because of it either. Like, you know,
right.
He was just, you know, whatever, doing his thing, whereas I'm not sure that I think the public backlash for stuff like this is bad enough.
Right.
To lose all of your jobs, you know, I don't know. Like, for me, like, I guess there is a tiny bit of difference for me. Like, is there malice or not malice? Like, Kramer, the dude from Seinfeld that was on that stage, saying, like, that was hatred. Like, that
right.
was
like,
malice.
Like, he was real quick to pull that word out. And he had like, anger behind it, you know?
Right, right.
I do think, but you know what? I do think, I don't think she was being malicious. I agree with you on that. But I don't give her a pass. Like, I don't feel like, I'm not saying that you are, but I'm just saying,
I'm not giving
like,
her a pass either, but
no,
I don't know
I
that
know
she needed to be fired.
Right, right, exactly. I think it was a more like, I don't know, I think my feeling for her was more sad, because I was like, wow, I thought she would be more evolved. I thought she would be, you know, I don't know, like you said, she's traveled the world. I thought she'd be more worldly. I thought she, you know, she was a single mom. She started a business out of her home. Like, she went through a major depression. Like, she's overcome major obstacles. And it was just very sad to know that she was, you know, I don't know. But the thing is I'm not surprised. It didn't surprise me because I've always said, you know, if your great-great-grandfather was a slave owner, which hers was, and that great-grandfather raised your great-great-grandfather and raised your grandfather who raised your father, those beliefs may just be embedded in the way that the people that you're influenced by, that's just the way that they thought. And even if that's the way they thought back in the day, we're not that far removed from, you know, slavery.
We're not. And here's the thing, like, for me being in New York, you know, the word is still used. I hear it on a regular basis for the most part.
Okay.
But when I go down south, it's more prevalent. And it's actually, like, I remember being a little kid. Maybe in middle school, we went down to North Carolina. We were thinking about moving down there. And we were in, like, my grandparents drove us down in their motorhome or whatever, my whole family. And we were down the motorhome. My brother and I were playing baseball with, like, the Velcro things that you'd put on your hands to catch the ball.
Oh, yeah. You catch it? Like a catching thing?
And this guy?
Thing?
Yeah. So the first one was this chick that, like, came over to play with my brothers. Like, she was, like, she had dinner in a box, whatever. This is kind of irrelevant, this part. But her mother came up, and she had, like, one of those conversion bands, and it said, you know, honk if you love Jesus kind of thing. And my grandmother looked at me and was like, oh, boy. I know where we are. And then this guy pulls up, and he's in like
one. Don't discriminate against the Christians. He's
got one of
the
old caddies with like the horns on the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it's out of a book. And he stopped the car, and he's like, "Ah, you guys are pretty good at that. Keep practicing, and you'll be just as good as those, you know." And he used the N-word. And my mother was, you know, not too far away from us, so she overheard it. And she saw, we just both kind of, like, dropped our jaws and kind of looked at him.
Mortified, right? It came out so easily. Came out like nothing.
Yeah, like, I have black friends at home. Like, my best friend was black. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I was kind of mortified. And I think he kind of got it because he left in it kind of quickly. But it was just like, what? You know, so I feel like the South is like a whole different ball game. Like, people, they're like 20 years behind. I know it's sad. Maybe I'm a racist to Southerners, but good Lord.
No, it is. That's where slavery was. It was, they made their living off of having slaves. Like, you think about it, slaves were a huge commodity for, you know, if you had 50 slaves, you were rich. They were worth money. If you needed money, you could sell one of those babies and you know, you could make a ton of money off of a slave, you know? So when the Civil War happened, a lot of people had nothing. They went from being rich, wealthy people to being poor. And I know that bred hatred, the deepest hatred. Because imagine if you can't feed your children. I'm not saying that it's right, but this is what they were faced with once the Confederate Army was taken down. And, you know, it's just, it all just was hate upon hate upon hate. And so for me, I never sugarcoat things, and I'm like, you know, I would want to think the world was in a better place, but every time I want to think that, something happens or there's a little sign to remind us that we've got so much further to go. And whether it be a black thing, a gay thing, a woman thing, you know, whatever, there's so much, we got so much further to go.
Well, I mean, you just look at it like the movie The Help. I mean, to me, that movie was amazing. And that was just, off the 50s, 60s, somewhere in there. And, that's how people were treated. And it kind of, it's crazy to me. And then I think I talked about this once before. There was one weekend we were watching a documentary, and it was about this couple. One was black, one was white. And I believe it was in the late 50s, early 60s. Don't quote me. They were, you know, a mixed race couple. And it was illegal for them to be married in Virginia. So they went over to D.C. and got married. But it was also illegal to be married and be a mixed-race couple in Virginia.
Yep.
So they were, arrested. It was horrible. And it's like, this was only, this was when our parents were kids.
Yeah, exactly. My mom said she remembers. My mom was, born in the 50s, and she said she remembers going to the, they had the blacks and the whites only. She was Mexican, but she said we were treated black people. We were considered non-white. And she remembers, back then saying whites only, or, you couldn't go to certain restaurants. She remembers it. And, she's like, that's just how it was. And,
right.
It's just, it just blows my mind. Think about this. Recently, remember the Cheerios commercial that came out recently, where the little girl is a interracial girl, and she's got the curly hair. She's super cute, and she's talking to her mom, and she's like, "Mommy, isn't Cheerios good for your heart?" And then they turn the camera to the mommy, and the mommy's white. And then she goes, "Yeah, honey, it's good for your heart. That's what they say," or something. And then the next scene, you see the dad, he's asleep on the couch, and he's waking up from his nap, and he has Cheerios all over his heart, where his heart would be. The little girl poured the Cheerios on his heart because she wanted her daddy, who was a black man, to have a healthy heart. And it was outrage, outrage. People
I've
were
seen
like,
that commercial.
Out.
People lost their mind, really?
Lost their mind. Look it up on the internet. They lost their freaking mind, to the point where Cheerios were like, "We are not pulling this commercial. You got to be kidding me." They lost their mind. I'll send you a link, because somebody posted it on Facebook today, and they were like, she said, a friend of mine, she was like, "Yeah, I'm a part of that group. I'm a part of the 15% who's interracial." And I said, "Yeah, Team Cheerios, I'm a part of it too." They lost their mind. Or just last week on the NBA playoffs in San Antonio, what's the guy, Darius Rucker? He was supposed to sing the national anthem. Well, he missed his flight, so, he obviously couldn't make it there in time. They got this little Hispanic boy, little Mexican boy. He was in his little mariachi. He was in his little mariachi outfit, and he sang the national anthem, had the voice of an angel. And Twitter blew up, where people were like, "Why is he singing the national anthem? He's probably not even legal. He's probably not even American."
I saw that on Facebook.
Hundreds of thousands.
And people,
this is a baby.
Yeah, people I know were saying that. Somebody had posted the video or whatever, and there was tons of comments. But there was people I know being like, "He's not even legal. Why is this kid in Mexican attire?" It's like a blah 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 blah. And I'm like, "Are you kidding?"
He's Mexican-American, born and raised in America, in San Antonio. His parents' parents were born in America. That's the sad part about it. And then they had the little kid on Entertainment Tonight, and he was like, "You know what? I'm not going to let people discourage me you know, if they want to hate on me, fine, they can hate on me, but I know I'm proud. I'm a proud American. Like, this is a little, like, 9-year-old having to defend his race and defend himself as an American. Like, I was like, okay, if race isn't alive and well, I don't know what to tell you. And then Paula Deen opened her big mouth, and I was like, okay, great, great. It's been confirmed. It's confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
First Cheerios, now the little baby boy, and now Paula Deen. Oh, my God, what's going to happen to our world?
Well, even as a child, you know, I had Italian grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and I remember being little, and the word was used very, very freely in my family.
Mm-hmm.
My mother never was always, like, completely against it, was always like, you know, you don't say that, blah, 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 they're just, you know, everybody's equal. You know, it was one of the things she taught me since I was, you know, a little kid, you know, that they're ignorant, whatever. But
right.
they were the first ones to say they weren't racist.
Right.
Like, that was always the part that killed me. And, like, my grandmother had a black friends. And they'd be like, well, we're not racist. And I'm like, what? Like, it didn't make sense to me as a kid. And they're like, well, because there's a difference. There's black people, and then there's... I'm like, oh,
yeah. And there's the N-word.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was,
well,
just,
you know,
kind of crazy.
Right. I had someone do that to me. Like, we were talking. I can't remember. I used to work with this person. Perfectly nice person, and she was like, oh, I'm never racist, and she had a real Texas accent. She was like, I got 5 black friends, and we, like, died laughing. Like, we started, and she got, like, started getting nervous because we were laughing at her, obviously, and she's like, what are y'all laughing at? What are y'all laughing at? And we were like, anybody who knows the exact number of how many black friends they have, I'm sorry, you're a little racist. And she, like, never talked to me again after I said that. But I was like, I don't know how many white friends I have, how many Asian friends I have. I don't know how many anything I've got. But you know exactly how many black friends you have. You tell me. What? And yeah, I was like, who are you trying to convince? Us or yourself? Like, that's the thing. I think they're trying to convince themselves. I'm not racist. I'm not racist. Okay.
Right. I mean, even to me, like, growing up, like, again, here we go. My black friend, you know, her mommy was white and her daddy was black. And
right.
even, like, growing up, like, that was still, like, I remember people always, like, they always looked at him kind of different. There was always comments made, you know, especially about the mom because she liked a black guy. So there was always, you know, this kind of aura around them that really was not fair, that people always judged them because they were a mixed race couple or
horrible.
You know, so like that was something like I grew up with, was, you know, that was my best friend, one of them, and like, you know, I always saw that and I never really understood why it mattered. You know, like we were little kids, like we were stupid. She would call me strawberry ice cream because she said I was more red. And that she was a twist. Like, that, you know, like, we were just stupid. Like, you know, like, it didn't even matter to us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we would have fun with it. Like, it was no big deal. It didn't matter. Like, I don't know. And then, and this goes to show you how ignorant my family is. Somewhere in maybe mid-90s, somewhere around there, my cousin was, like, a teenager and got pregnant. And the father was black.
Dun, 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 dun.
Can I tell you how everyone lost their fucking mind, except for my mother. But when the baby came.
Joyce has got a heart of gold, man. Joyce is the best.
Right, right. Except when the baby came, the stories all changed. But
right.
that child was never doted upon.
Uh-huh.
Like the other, you know, like the other kids.
Sounds like me. I have a picture of my mom and my dad when they got married, and why is it in two pieces? Nobody will tell me who cut the picture in half. But I used to only have one half of it forever. And then one day, my grandmother, who I love and adore, and I will say she raised me, she took care of me, she bought me my first car. She taught me how to drive. I mean, she was everything. She taught me how to say my first cuss word. She used to give me a little bit here in my cup with some water. you know, because I wanted to taste it. She used to make me coffee in the morning. Like, this is my heart, my soul. She gave me the other half of that picture one day. And she goes, you know what? When your mom got with your father, she said, it shamed our family because people were, you know, stupid. And she goes, and for a minute, I told your mom that, you know, she should probably have an abortion because her life was going to be hard. I was against it. You know, I just didn't think he would treat her good. And my mom and dad ended up divorcing. Like, they weren't together. He cheated on her. They weren't together very long. But she said, the day you were born was the best day of my life because I realized how stupid I was. And
there you have it.
At that moment, I was like, nobody is going to talk about my baby. I will cut you. And my grandmother had probably cut some people in her lifetime. But she was like, she was my biggest defender, because you're right. Because, like, we'd go places and people would be touching my hair, or people would look at, staring, talking, whispering. They didn't know what to make, because I'm, like, the only little black one, and there's all a bunch of Mexicans. And my family's really fair-skinned, so here I am. I was really, like, I was really dark compared to them.
And it's so funny, because looking at your mom, I don't really see a big difference.
She tans. She's now darker than me. Like, it was so funny because she asked me, she called me and asked me what kind of MAC makeup I use, and I told her the number. And then she called me back, like, the next day and was like, you gave me the wrong number. And I was like, what number did you buy? And she told me, I was like, Mom, that's the one I use. And she's like, well, they must have the wrong one over here. And I'm like, Mom, MAC just makes a regular makeup. So when I went there for the family reunion, I was like, Mom, you're like 8 shades darker than me. Like, you go outside and garden every day. I don't ever go in the sun. So she's like, my mom is like darker than I am. But it's because, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's crazy. But back in the day, like, it wasn't good. Like, I was the only black girl in my elementary school. Only one.
Yeah.
And then junior high and high school, I went to a predominantly black school because I felt like I didn't know my culture. I didn't know. Like, I'd never had collard greens. I'd never had, you know, fried chicken. I didn't know what that was. And my dad didn't cook. He would take me to McDonald's, you know? So I felt like I needed to know what I was, you know? Because that's the thing. I think when you have an interracial child, like, you have to always remember, like, I told my mom, like, one day we got into a huge fight because she was like, you're Mexican. And I go, you know what? I am. I have you in me. I have Mexican. But the reality is, in America, I'm a black woman. And you need to raise me that way so that I'm ready for what they're going to throw at me.
Right.
Period.
It's true.
I mean, I know you want me to have you in me, and obviously I do. I love you. But I'm a black woman. You know?
That's right, because, I mean, it's true, and, I mean, I guess it's kind of ignorant of me, because I don't ever, you know, like, to me, like,
you
I would say you're black, but you're Mexican, like, I've never called you like that. Yeah, that's Karen S. with a Mexican. No, like, that's Karen S. with a black girl. Like, I mean, not that I describe you like that, but, you know, like, people,
yeah.
It is very ignorant of, I think, society, and you don't. Like,
until things change, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I heard who said that, and it was, like, years ago she said that, and it just made me go, wow, it just brought so much clarity to my life and my mind, because I think every interracial kid kind of struggles with their identity at some point in their life. But Halle Berry, she said it. You know, she was like, because her mom is, you know, a white woman, and she said, you know, one thing that my mom did right was she told me at a very young age, you know, you're a black woman. And she raised me to be proud to be a black woman.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, what can you do, you know?
Well, you know, I kind of have a situation going on in my life right now where there's, you know, there's a biracial person near me who's kind
of
going through that age.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we had to go through a page and they were saying, you know, nationality or whatever. And I was like, well, what do you want to put? And this person was like, wow, I'm half, you know, mom's white. So she's like, put white. And we just started giggling because, like, you know, that really throws people off, especially when you're going for a job interview and it says on your application you white.
Mm-hmm.
And you come in and you're, like, you know what I mean? Like, people are going to do a double take and be like, huh? But it's dead true. Like, if you have any kind of color to your skin, it doesn't matter what you really are, you black. Or you're yellow. If you're Asian. It's a very sad, sad situation. They don't have those options.
Right.
I don't know, the whole thing, like, just kind of mind boggles me that how anybody at any point in this history could be like, oh, your skin's a different color, so you're less of a human. Like, that just absolutely blows my mind.
I'm always that person who's like for the underdog, and maybe that's where you and I are alike in that way. We kind of always find sympathy in things. And I'm always like, I wouldn't want to treat anybody mean. Like, I don't want to be mean to anybody. I don't want to ruin anyone's day, more or less. Treat somebody
unless you're
like
stupid.
Shit.
I'm just playing.
What?
Unless you're
only stupid.
You can't fix stupid. Like,
wow.
I feel like stupidity is a learned behavior, and it's a choice.
Well, you know what I always think? I think if you're considered to be stupid, then that, to me, I just think you're probably lazy, because there's so much opportunity to get knowledge. Like, I know people who don't have college degrees who are some of the smartest people ever, and it's because they're in tune with the world, they're in tune with people around them, they have friends of all nationalities, they try to really connect with the people, or they try to connect with whatever it is they're into. You know, I just feel like if you're considered to be less educated, doesn't mean you're stupid. If you're stupid, it's just because you're too lazy to be right.
Well, I've met people with degrees that are stupid. But, you know, it's kind of funny that you brought that topic up, because even people like you and I do not have college degrees. Katrina does. And you and I are judged on the fact that we don't. But what you graduated from high school, right? Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm. I did
not. I left and got my GED. And Kelly and Andy did not know that, apparently. And I don't know how, we were talking at dinner about something, and it kind of, we were talking about me working at the daycare center or whatever, and, like, I was like, yeah, I left school, basically, to go do this. And she was like, wait, what? She's like, you graduate high school? I'm like, I went and, like, got my GED, like, 2 weeks later.
Right.
Like, you had to take the stupid pretest, and I, like, aced it and didn't have to take any classes. So I went and took the GED, and, like, I pretty much aced it. Which is pathetic, especially in, like, I mean, it wasn't, I don't know, like.
I don't think it's pathetic. I just think sometimes, too,
so
I think the setup of education, like, it's not for everybody. Like, that's why when I hear about schools that they do alternative ways of learning or alternative ways to get kids intrigued, or because you can't, like, teach one kid. You can't teach a whole class of kids the same way. Like, you got to be, like, teachers that were creative and teachers who related to me, those are the ones that stuck with me. Those are the ones that I love, because they really took the time to just figure out a way to teach it to me, or teach it to my friend, or teach it to somebody, you know? They didn't let that one kid lag in the back. So I don't think it's anything wrong with that, because, you know, I just don't feel like school is set up. You know,
I don't feel that it teaches
one way.
No, I feel like it doesn't teach enough life lessons and things that you need to know when you go into the job market. So I'm not really sure. I mean, I get, you know, whatever. But I can say I did have my eyes open recently, especially about math, because I was like, what the fuck do you ever need algebra for? You will never. I don't remember how to do it. Never use it again. Or the truth tables or any. No, I didn't go into a field. Don't need it. But I was always told, they're like, it's not technically because you need this in life, but it's teaching you problem-solving skills.
Right.
Right. Now, I have come in contact with somebody, and it's kind of opened my eyes to where I did realize, like, I get it now. You do need that. I get what they're trying to do is they are teaching you how to problem solve, because there has been a few people in my life that can't problem solve, and math is a big issue to them. And I'm like, it makes sense. But, again, I'm looking at it like, is there a better way we could be teaching these children? Because if school was more educational in the sense that, especially come time for high school, I feel like if I had a curriculum, that was structured towards what I wanted to do when I became a big boy and got out into the real world, I think a lot more kids would love it. I think they would do a lot better. And I think we probably wouldn't be fading away as one of the number one countries in the world. Because these kids get out of school and they don't know how to do anything. I mean, how many people do you know that have degrees that are dumb as rocks? And these kids are coming out of college with these degrees, but they can't do the jobs. So great, they have this piece of paper, but they can't do the job. Whereas you and I started at the ground up or whatever the case was, and we worked ourselves to where we could handle a position where the person with the degree, okay, they've got the degree that they want, but they can't do the job because they've had no life experiences and they were never taught how to do the job. So now you have a degree, and instead of starting off at that $60,000 a year job, you're starting off at $30,000, which you can't even live and pay your student loan debts back. My cousin is paying $794 a month in student loans.
What?
Yeah. Bachelor's degree in psychology from a SUNY school. And then went back and was going to continue on for her master's, because with a bachelor's degree in psychology, you can't do shit. And then every job she applied for, she was overqualified for, so they wouldn't take her, which is just another ridiculous thing to me. And then, so in order for her to get her master's, it would have cost her like another $40,000. So she would have been like $100,000 in the hole for, you know, unless she was going to go get her PhD, she was probably only going to make like 50, 60 grand a year, if that. And again, like when you're paying back $100,000 in student loan debt, which I think a lot of people don't realize how expensive it is, it's crazy because like, Joe has a student loan of $15,000, okay? He took it out to go to community college. Didn't last. Blew through it. By the time he's done paying that student loan bill back, he will have paid
$45,000. I was going to say, it triples. That's why they let you get so much time. Like, they're like, oh, don't pay it back until you're done. And then all this interest is on it.
And here's the thing, you cannot go bankrupt on student loans. So, one of my girlfriends, you know, was about to go bankrupt or whatever, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
She's just like, I've had enough, the car payments. She's like, I just need to start over. Like, this is not worth it to me. I'm scraping by. This is not how I want to live.
Wow.
Good for you. So, but she also was in the hole for some major student loans. I was like, yeah, you can't file on those. And she didn't realize she couldn't file because that was one of her biggest issues, was her student loan bill was so high. Like even Mike J, he had talked about it. His student loans were like the two of them together, because you get more than one, you know, it's like six something a month.
Wow.
They're like $350 a piece. Because you could think if you owe $50,000, even if you're paying it off over 20 years, it's still, you know, a mini mortgage payment.
Right.
So
it is.
She,
in some countries,
what I,
you can get a house. You can get a house in certain states for that much.
Right. So I was like, well, what you need to do before you, you know, before you start messing with your credit, you need to go get you a personal loan and take that personal loan and pay off your student loans.
Mm-hmm.
And sit on that personal loan, you know, go do about a year, you know, pay on it. And then file bankruptcy and include the personal loan in there.
Right.
And she was like, oh, my God, that's kind of genius. I was like, well, otherwise you stop paying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly
what
she did.
That's why all the kids are getting out of college and they're in debt. their credit's
right,
bad.
Right, and now it's even like there was a big, I don't remember, 2020, one of those things, where the kids are coming out of college and they're making less money now than they were before.
Yep.
And the thing is all my friends that have degrees, like, I'm making just as much as they do.
Yeah, right.
Half the time more. Like, well, they were struggling, you know, working at McDonald's trying to pay their bills, you know, for the last 10 years. Like, most of the last 10 years, I made more than them. And
right.
Now that they have degrees and they're all graduated, we make the same amount. Some of them are starting
right.
to get a little higher than what I do. But also
right.
it's in the line of work that I've chosen to do.
But they're in debt,
you know,
too. Like, all
right.
the money they're making is going straight back to paying it off. Well, all the
not
money you're making
college.
Is going into paying your bills and planning your future.
Like, I feel like it will work for a lot of people, and I feel like it is good.
Yeah.
And if I could go back, you know, I probably would go to college just because I feel it does make your life
too.
Easier. You know, and if you go right out of high school at 18, you're done
mm-hmm.
by the time you're like 22.
Yeah, that's,
you know, by
like
25.
There's no break. Otherwise,
no, but you can't.
Forever to get you back over there.
But that's
yeah,
what you
no,
need
I
to
agree.
Do.
I would go to school too.
I would. I mean, not now because I think the prices are ridiculous. You know, and
mm-hmm.
at this point, I'm like, to have student loan debt at 30. I mean, I know a lot of
Ooh.
People do it, but for me, like, I'm not trying to pay that back. You know, it's going to take me 7 years to go get the degree I want, so I'm not going to be done till 40. I'm trying to retire at some point.
Right. I hear you.
Because if I'm going to do it, I'm going to go all the way.
Right.
Like,
I agree.
I'm not going to stop at no little master's. I want a PhD.
Right.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Right, you go for the next 12 years in school.
Right, and it's like, you know, like, and then what? I'm going to start my career at 40? No,
right.
no, I'm good. You know what I think? If I get to a point, like I said it before, where I've got enough dough and I don't really got to work like that, you know, I'd probably go back just because.
Right.
You know, if I didn't have to take loans out, just for the knowledge for the sake of it. But, you
right.
know.
Right.
And then I would just collect them.
I know. You know, we didn't even get to the topic you sent me, so we're going to definitely do that tomorrow because, whoo, Jeffrey sent me a juicy one. A juicy.
Are we out of time?
We're almost. We got about 9 minutes left or 8 minutes left.
James,
but,
is that caller still on the line? I know he texted me. He didn't do the doorbell, so I kind of got distracted and forgot. Why is he on a 10-second delay?
I don't think he's even on. I think he's in the screening room or something.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Well, if you are on the line, please call back tomorrow because we'll definitely get you on the phone. We'll definitely talk to you. It's such an interesting thing. I love the way this whole conversation tonight went on like a roller coaster of thoughts and, you know, I hope we were able to provoke your mind because I know for me, I struggle with, you know, like you said, I struggle with the fact that I feel like society says you got to go to college, you got to go to school, and I just feel like it depends on the person that you are. If you're a go-getter and you're a hustler and you're like one of those people who's going to get out there and you're good at selling yourself, then I think you have a chance if you don't have a degree. Like, I'm real good
right.
at selling myself. I can walk into any job and I can get it. Like, no question, but my confidence overflows when it comes to me thinking, like, oh, you can figure it out. I don't think I'm the smartest person, but I feel like I can figure anything out. And I got that from my mama and my grandma. Like, they were like, you can figure anything out if you just take the time to think about it. And so
right.
There are people who I feel like, they kind of need a degree because it's going to, if you're confident, I feel like if your confidence is in a certain place, you kind of need it to bring, to justify or to kind of like validate, I can handle this. I can handle the pressure. But there's one teacher I remember and she's my like all-time favorite. And it's funny because I ran into a friend of mine who ran into her and she was like, I started crying and I was hugging her and telling her I'm a teacher because of her. But this teacher used to teach us practical life lessons. Like, she taught us how to fill out a voter registration card. She taught us how to fill out a tax return, like a W-2. She taught us how to fill out like an I-9. She taught us what they were because we were like, W-2, what's that? She taught us how to balance a checkbook. Like, we had a whole month of where we had to, like, we pretended to buy things and pay for bills, and we had to balance a checkbook. So it was like we did things in this class. It was a speech class. We obviously learned speeches, and we had to get up in front of the audience. Like, she got me in front of an audience, and she would never, ever let me read from a script, like, or read from a whatever I was going to say. It had to be memorized. Like, you could not get in front of her class unless you memorized your work. And so she was, like, the one who taught me how to memorize, like, taught me how to, like, get it. Or she was like, if you're going to have notes, then have notes. But you should speak from the heart. You got to be comfortable in front of a crowd, you know?
That's true. I do hate it when people are reading things.
Yeah, honestly, because you have a disconnection. If you have to look down, you disconnect. You do. It is what it is. Like, I remember going to an audition, and a friend of mine was a director, and he was like, let's work on your lines before you go. And I hadn't had time. I really, like, just printed them out and was like, okay, I'm coming over. He was like, you are not going to book this part unless you memorize this in 3 hours. And I was like, oh, God. And he was like, I'm serious. He goes, because when you're looking at me, you got it. But the minute you look down at your lines, you disconnect. I lose you. And I was like, damn. So I had to sit there and memorize this long script. For like, it was in 3 hours. Like, I was dying because it was, like, so much. But it's true. You know, that's what I always tell people. When you go to a job interview, you got to look them in the eye. You never break the look. You look at them the whole time. Even if you don't know what to say, you got to think on your toes. Like, I practice in front of the mirror. When I used to go to jobs, I used to practice in front of a mirror. And same thing, when I go to an audition, I practice in front of a mirror. Like, I feel like if you really want the job, you got to do what it takes to get it, you know?
Right.
But I do, like, a degree does make your life easier because right now the job market is so, you know, it's so non-existent that they weed people out, the ones who don't have a degree, then we're not going to see you. And you may not get the chance to get in front of someone and win them over. And it might be that resume that says, oh, I have a degree, that gets you through the door for the first time. You know?
Right.
So it's kind of a catch-22.
If you have a degree, like, I do feel like a lot of my friends that have degrees, I almost feel like they're, culture, it's not the word, but I am, like, a little bit envious of the fact that I almost feel like their speech is a little bit better. They carry themselves a little differently. You know, I do feel like it's a good experience, you know, and maybe you learn, like, I couldn't write an essay if somebody asked me, like, I don't know how to, you know, you got to do the footnotes and stuff. Like, I never learned any of that.
Right. I can write a script. I'd skip the essay and I went right to a script.
Right.
But you're right. You're right. There's none. So I hope when people listening that we're not saying that it's bad to go to college, because if you can go to college, you better go. But if you don't, you have to make a way, and you have to be creative in the way that you approach life, because it is harder for you. And if you are creative, you'll be successful. You will be. You won't be denied.
That's true.
You know, but don't you think you've got to be real creative? Like, you got to pull a rabbit out of a damn hat on a regular occasion.
It's true. Like, it is definitely a lot harder.
Yeah.
To get a really good job if you don't have a degree. And I feel some practical lessons that you learn with a degree, but not all. You know?
Right.
I don't know. Interesting.
Interesting. Well, we're at the end of the show, so I hope you go, you like our Facebook page. I hope that you go and follow us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook/Uncensored Radio, @Uncensored Radio on Twitter. You can go to our website, www.myuncensoredradio, because that's what it is. It is your Uncensored Radio. And tweet us, Facebook us, let us know what you want to talk about, because you know we'll talk about it. And we've got an amazing show planned for you tomorrow. I cannot wait to talk about that show.
And go check out LA Jazz cosplay. It's L-A, like L period A period J-A-Z-E cosplay. And go like their page,
yes,
because they're the ones that have been doing some great, great, great publicity.
Graphics
for us. Like, those are the ones with the city in the background and us. They did that. They're fantastic. We love them. Go like their page. Go check it out. And ours is facebook.com/uncensoredradio. And you can follow us on Twitter at Uncensored Radio, at Karen Ashley, at Jeffrey Emmett, at Katrina A. Johnson.